All right, then we'll say, let's get started. So, Baruch Hashem, so tonight, we're going to try to make a run. I don't know make a run. We're going to try to, in Mir Hashem, take our time and get to the end of the parak. So, we're picking up. So, tonight, we're picking up on Chaf Hamad Beis 25b, Rav Achai. You got the WhatsApp?
Thanks for the map. I don't know if I would have made it otherwise.
I was actually about to call you because I know you're not usually on WhatsApp. Like Amish, you know? So let's say... You're very quiet in the morning, and by the nighttime, you're very talkative. This is like your peak hour over here. Speaking. I just want to say, so let's say we're picking up Chaf Hamad Beis 25b, and we are picking up, again, four lines up from the bottom. Rav Achai, I will say, this is actually an incredible, incredible story. Rav Achai, asikle lebrei berav Yitzchak bar Shlomo bar Marto. Suppose, listen to this story. Rav Achai married off his son to the daughter of Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marto. Watch this. So, Eile Luchopa, so the young couple got married. The chassan was unable to consummate the relationship. Okay, so what happens? So I will say, so the Gemara says, the unwritten part of the story is the chassan told his father. So that's a, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's a good bond between father and son. So he told his father. So the father felt that something was off over here. Azul basrei le'iyune. He went into the room where the couple was supposed to consummate the marriage, just to see maybe something was off. Chazer sefer Torah demancha. So there was a sefer Torah in the room. So Amar Lahu. I said Amar Lahu Ehu hashta lo asoy sakantan lebar. So now both say Rav Achai said to Rav Yitzchak, had I not discovered this, you would have put my son in mortal danger. Because we're going to see having marital relations in a room where there is a Sefer Torah is a very, very serious transgression. So I'll just point out something amazing. How incredible is it that this young man was unable, right, to engage in sexual activity because of the Sefer Torah? Now remember, he didn't know the Sefer Torah was there, right? He didn't know it was there because otherwise he would have figured out what was going on over here. He had no idea. Just there is this level of existence where like body and soul operate on the same plane. You see, what we're more used to is the constant tug of war between body and soul, right? My soul wants one thing, my body wants something dramatically different, and life is this constant tug of war. Some days the body wins, or many days the... Oh.
I don't even think this opens. Yeah, shall I inside this door? Oh, it does open. Okay. You have to sign a waiver before you
can steer. Legit drew you a map.
No saying, one's allowed to use
that. Understand that waiver's a lost art path.
Like, yeah, you cannot. You cannot. Yeah, you didn't see the multiple videos and instructions and text messages.
Arrows on the floor.
Yes. I mean, what else could I have done? What else? Yeah. What else could I possibly have done? Okay. All right. So I'll say, so it's incredible. So we're used to this concept of this almost like fracture between body and soul. Yeah, but at the end of the day, what's so incredibly unique about this story is this young man's body, like, it wouldn't respond, right? It wouldn't respond in a normative way. Why? Because the soul sensed that something was off. So I'll say, so the ability to have like that synergistic partnership between body and soul is really like an overwhelmingly incredible thing. Okay, so the Gemara says as follows: Disanyo by sheish bo sefer Torah. If you have a home in which there is a sefer Torah, o tefillin, or there's tefillin in the home, also the shamish bo samita, one is not permitted to engage in marital relations ad shiotziyim, unless you remove them. This is very interesting. I'm about to say, if you're in a room and there's a Sefer Torah or there's tefillin, marital relations is not allowed until you place those ritual objects in essentially a double receptacle, in a kli within a kli, a kli within a kli. Amrabai. So Moshe is actually very interesting. And by the way, I just want to tell you where this could come up, like in a very hotel. Mm-hmm. Right? In a hotel case. Okay, not the Sefer Torah, but Lamaisa, a person has their talis and their tefillin, and again, it's all one room. So the halacha is, in order to have marriage relations in a hotel room, in a room where there is tefillin or a Sefer Torah, the object has to be in a double casing.
Is this where, like, the source for double wrapping something in a microwave kind of thing?
That's interesting. I think they just both happen to be double, but by food, generally, like it's a din in reach and scent, and like flavor. I don't know. I never thought of that before. Maybe there is something like parallelism. Interesting. I don't know.
Could be a sefer Torah when you go on these excursions with groups and they bring a sefer Torah to the hotel and someone's going to keep it. It's got to be something. It could be a small group, not an organized like event.
Right. Give it to the singer, or I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I don't go on excursions often. As this happened. Okay, Baruch Hashem, Miras Hashem, Ken Yerbu. Chaim was on safari over there. That was. The point is, you'd have to take precautions for it. You'd have to take precautions. And I will say now, there's a very important caveat to this. He says, "Lo shana el kli she'eno kelyon, aval b'kli shu kelyon afilu asara manik echad manadami." I will say, for this double kli to work, this double wrapping, it can't be something. For example, you have a Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah has a cover, a mantle. That doesn't count as one cover. Right, because that cover itself, ultimately, again, is part of the Sefer Torah. Tefillin. You have a tefillin bag. A tefillin bag is not a cover. Now, interestingly enough, the plastic on your tefillin bag could be a cover. That could be a cover. So that's one cover. So if you put it now in a shopping bag afterwards, or you cover it, now again, we're both saying, remember, or put it in the closet. The point over here is it can't, if it's going to be in the room, it's got to be in a double covering. But if you put it in a closet, then effectively it's in a different domain. That's totally fine.
Well, the tefillin bag is not one cover.
The tefillin, the velvet, that is not one cover. That is not one cover. Now, the reason, according to many opinions, the reason for that is because the Gemara says anything that is uniquely created for that item, right? In other words, no one holds their tefillin, just like, you know, you put one in each pocket and you go to shul like that, right? The same way that no one has a Sefer Torah without a cover. So these are almost like considered to be like, I'm trying to think of the right word, like an accessory, but like an outgrowth, like an appendage of the actual item itself. Therefore, Allah say can't count as a covering. So if you were to have a tefillin bag, and let's say the plastic can, because the plastic is really just there like as a cosmetic or a protective thing. That doesn't do anything.
And what makes it an accessory is that it's designated to be the original.
It was designated, and that's the normal manner of usage. In other words,
what about the thermoses that people use when they're like Israeli thermoses?
I think those would have the same status. Now, the thermoses, I think, normally have like the thermos, and then they fit like into a sleeve. Right, so that sleeve could definitely be cover number one, and then going ahead and cover. Correct, right? I think that's where those, right, because it's not just the thermos. I think it fits into something.
So in this case, the Torah was sitting out; it wasn't in
the Torah was sitting out. So the Torah was just like laying on a table. Now, obviously, you have to say it's a case where the sun. I don't know. The room was dark, you know. So whatever, he didn't recognize that it was there. But it's interesting that the father sensed that something was amiss. Okay. But I will say, remember again, but if you have a cover that is an accessory, as Farah mentioned, or like an appendage, or just part and parcel of how the object is normally cared for, then that doesn't count as a cover. Okay. So Amarava, Glima, some other examples of this. Glima, top of Chavav 26a. Glima, Akamtura, Kikli Bisoch Kli Dami. Now, this is actually interesting. If you have. So let's say you go ahead and you have a bookcase filled with svarim. And I will say, now, if you can imagine, the bookcase they're talking about over here is, imagine it's like a bookcase with doors. So if you have a bookcase with doors, and then you put a cloak on top of that, that's like a double covering. That's a double covering, right? The structure itself, the bookcase itself is cover one. And then ultimately, again, the sheet will be, or the cloak will be cover two. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi.
The bookcase where the front of the svarim are. Not like behind you where the front is open.
Correct. Has to be with doors.
Credenza.
Correct. Says that's right. Rashi, interestingly enough, Rashi calls it argaz. Argaz literally is a closet. And the reason he uses that word is because, again, it has doors. Yeah, if it's because just stam, a book, is that's not a covering. That's not a covering.
Is an aron an accessory?
An aron kodesh?
Old Torah, so does it not count as a covering?
I think the halacha is that an aron counts as a covering because the aron itself is a secondary appendage. Like, in other words, it's not a necessity. You could also keep Sifrei Torah on a table and just cover them with a talis. You don't need an aron. As opposed to, distinguish, make the distinction between things that the ritual object needs versus things that it doesn't need but are nice. Sefer Torah needs a cover because you're not allowed to handle a Sefer Torah without a cover. Tefillin need a bag because how else are you respectfully transporting them? Sefer Torah technically don't need an aron. Okay, so we'll say, so watch it. Some Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Sefer Torah Tzarech La'asos L'mechitza Asar Tefachim. So we'll say, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi takes this a step further. It's actually incredible. He seems to say that a double covering on a Sefer Torah is not enough. Double covering is not enough. Rather, what do you need? You need to create a mechitza. You need to create a partition that is 10 Tefachim wide. And going back to last night's daf, if you remember again, once you have 10 Tefachim, what does 10 Tefachim represent? What does 10 Tefachim represent? A different domain. We saw that in yesterday's shir. So you need a mechitza. Essentially, what you need is, if I'm going to be in a room, and I will say, by the way, I'll point out, the truth is, it's not just related to marital relations. The same thing really would be with walking around in a room unclothed, if there's a Sefer Torah there. It's really the same basic concept. I will say, by the way, I'll tell you where this does come up, by the way. Interestingly enough, there's an interesting mezuzah application to this, but we'll save it for a different time. So Rabbi Shulman Levi says, ideally, if you're going to have a Sefer Torah in the room with you, either for marital relation purposes or for just walking around on clothed purposes, there has to be a mechitza that's 10 tefachim between myself and the Sefer Torah. Okay? Marzutra ikra ikla lebei Rav Ashi. So Marzutra went to the house of Rav Ashi. Chazye leduchte demar bar Rav Ashi. The Marach Bei Sefer Torah. So Moshe said, this is interesting, right? So Marzutra went to the house of Rav Ashi, and he saw the room that Rav Ashi's son, Mar, that was the son's name, he saw where he was sleeping, and he saw that in his room, he had a Sefer Torah, V'avid Lei Mechitza Sarah. But the son had a Sefer Torah in his room, but he had a Mechitza, you know, in the room of Ten Tzvachim. So Amar Lei, so Marzutra said, Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect that you could have a mechitza, that you could have a Sefer Torah in the bedroom with you if there is a mechitza? Could be a Shulman Levi. It's like a Shulman Levi. So it's interesting. So Rav Ash, so Marzutra said, Eimar Dor Shulman Levi, the less Beisa Achrina. Mar Ha Isle Beisa Achrina. So Amrale Lav Adatai. So this is actually very interesting. So Marzutra said to Rav Ashi, this idea that if you erect a mechitza of 10 tefachim between you and the Sefer Torah, you can have the Sefer Torah in the same room, that's true when you don't have other options, right? You don't have somewhere else to place the Sefer Torah. But if you have another structure, another domicile, another home in which to place the Sefer Torah, that's clearly ideal. So we'll say, this is actually, you know, it's good, that's right. You know, like sometimes they say, like, when you go over to someone's house for Shabbos, right? Don't go into the kitchen. Right? Like, hey, you know what? Good. Everybody has a cheskes kashrus. We assume that people know what they're doing. Don't start looking around. Why? A lot of times you start looking around and, whoa, what's that? So it's interesting, right? That Marzutra comes to Ravashi's house. He starts looking around a little bit. He's like, why is there a Sefer Torah in the kids' room? Okay, there's a mechitza of 10 tefachim. So this is very interesting. Even Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, who said that you could have a mechitza of 10 tefachim, that's not ideal. That's not ideal. The ideal is you place a Sefer Torah in a separate domain where people aren't sleeping, having relations, walking around unclothed. That's the dignity and the cover that a Sefer Torah has. If you can't do that, right? Circumstances don't allow for that. Okay, then you have the mechitza option. Very interesting. So to which, interestingly enough, to which Rav Ashi responded, Lava datoy, I didn't know that. I just thought that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's halacha that you could put up a mechitza is the chatchila, that you're even allowed to do that. You know, ideally, I didn't realize that it was only a bidyavet. But there's a lot of profundity in that story also, because, you know, more often than not in life, when someone points out something about our personal standards and they question it, the reflexive reaction is to do what? To become defensive. It takes a very big person, what I call a big person, but also, like, big person means big in humility, to be able to hear someone point out something to them and say, you know what? I hear. I did not know that. An incredible example of just profound humility. So kama yirchak menetzah arba amos. So we'll say, so remember again, back to Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about again that a person has to distance themselves, dalet amos, from waste before davening. Amarava, amarav schora, amarav huna. Lo shanu ela la'achorav. Shavosai, this idea of distancing yourself, Dalaramis, that's when the waist is behind you. Avalafonov, marchik melo enov. But if the waist is in front of you, you have to distance yourself as far as the eye could see. So this is a pretty big chumrah over here, based on what we learned before. So now this idea of Dalai Lama's is only if it's behind you, but in front of you, really it has to be out of ocular range. You really can't see. You can't see the waist. If you see it, you can't daven. V'chein l'tfila. What's true for Shema is also going to be true for Shmona Esrei. Ini, is that so? V'ha amarav from bar papa amarav chista. Omate Adam Kineged Besaki, say Umispalo. Yet again, Rafra Bar Papa said in Rav Chista that if a person stands opposite a Besaki, say he could daven. Now, we'll say, so this is actually a pretty interesting halacha that here, I guess, now, we'll say, what's a Besaki? Say a Besaki is a real bathroom. So now the halacha is saying that I can literally stand opposite the bathroom. In other words, I can't stand in the bathroom. We spent a considerable amount of time on that. But I can stand opposite the bathroom and daven. So the Gemara says, so we'll say that seems to say you don't need Dalai Lamas. So what's the case over here? The base akise she'im latsoa. It's interesting. Talking about a bathroom that doesn't have fecal matter. It doesn't have fecal matter in it. So because of that, you could daven right opposite, not inside of it, but opposite. Ini, is that so? V'ha amar Rav Yosef Bar Chanina. Rav Yosef Bar Chanina said, Beis HaKise She'amru Afapi She'in Bo Tzoa, U'Beis HaMerchat She'amru Afapi She'in Bo Adam. In Rav Yosef, we learned elsewhere that no. Once a place has a designation as a Beis HaKise, you can't daven there. In other words, you can't daven within proximity to that place, even if it hasn't been used to actually relieve oneself. So a very important halacha. So once it has the designation, you can't go ahead and daven within proximity to it. Same thing by the bathhouse. Bathhouse also in halacha has very much like a bathroom-like status associated with it. First of all, because people did relieve themselves there, and also because people walked around unclothed. So halacha, I'm asking, so what's the case over here? Becharati. We'll say brand new bathroom. Brand new bathroom, right? What's a brand new bathroom? What does it mean, a brand new bathroom? Mm-hmm. It has not been inaugurated yet, right? It hasn't been the christening, right? No one's done anything. So therefore, again, it's brand new. So I will say, so it's brand new, but it hasn't been used. So we'll say, if that's the case, you might say, 1 second, v'hami b'ayle l'ravina. But 1 second, this was a kasha. We'll say, this question about what is the status of a bathroom, of a beis hakise, right, that has been designated as a bathroom, but hasn't been used as a bathroom. What's its status? So the Gemara says, if you designated a place to be used as a beis hakise, what's its status? Yesh zimun o ein zimun. Do we say that designation is meaningful, right? And therefore, once it's been designated as a bathroom, even if it hasn't been used, it has all the halachas of a bathroom, or that no, designation is meaningless. The only time a bathroom becomes a bathroom is ultimately after the first time that it's used for such purposes. To which the Gemara says, Ki kam b'alei d'ravina, l'mekam alei l'tziluye b'gavei, aval k'negdo lo. So what's this fascinating? Gemara says, no. Ravina's question was something different. Ravina was like this. If you ever say an area that was designated as a bathroom, but was never used, can you daven inside it? Isn't that an interesting question? So it's been designated as a bathroom, but never been used as a bathroom. Can you daven inside of it? That was the shayla. But everyone agrees that if you have an area designated as a bathroom that's never been used as a bathroom, you definitely can what? Daven outside, opposite it. And you do not need to distance yourself from Dalai Lama's. So I will say, just so you should know, the way we paskin with that is yesh zimun, and essentially once an area has been designated as a beis hakise, it takes on that status. So for example, you might have a beautiful new bathroom that was built, no one's ever used it, you can't go ahead and have a minyan in there. It's never been used. Once it's been designated, you can't daven inside of it, but if it hasn't yet been used, you absolutely could daven outside right opposite. Let's just finish up the next line. Amar Rava says, a very interesting halacha, Hani bate kisoy de parsoy, the Persian bathrooms, afagav de ispeitsoa kistumindamu. Even though there might be waste inside of it, ultimately, again, they're considered to be closed off. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi quickly, and we'll stop. So apparently the Persians, I guess this was like the precursor to indoor plumbing. So what do? They created sewage pits. So essentially, what would happen is they would dig holes in the ground, but they would dig deep holes. so that the waste would roll down. They like almost like a tunnel. So the idea is that the waste wasn't considered to be contained in the bathroom itself. In the bathroom itself. So because of... I'm sorry?
Drainage.
A drainage, right. So what's interesting is, I don't know where it went. You know, in other words, was it just very deep holes in the... No, I'm saying... Or what could also just have happened is just they dug a deep enough hole and that after a certain point in time, the waste decomposes. And just, I don't know. So whatever it was. But the point over here is apparently the non-Persian Beis HaKiseh was the waste would kind of just like sit there until it was emptied out. The Persian bathrooms, again, they dug deep so that any waste wasn't considered to be exposed. So obviously you still can't daven in there, but halacha lemaisa, you wouldn't have to distance yourself, dalet amos, outside of such a bathroom. You'd be able to daven immediately outside that bathroom. All right, Bosai, shkoyach.
What about the toilet itself?
So this is interesting. So